On a Monday, you're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're going to spend some time now looking at the work of the Speaker's Task Force on Suicide Prevention. According to the State Health Services Department, more than 900 Wisconsinites died by suicide in 2017. That's the most recent data out there. And numbers have trended upward. Does this issue hit home to you? What kind of prevention programs should Wisconsin offer? How can lawmakers come together around legislation that helps prevent suicide? We're at 800-642-1234. Jesse James of Altoona represents the 68th Assembly District, which includes parts of Eau Claire County, and he's a member of the Speaker's Task Force on Suicide Prevention. Representative James, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with the special session Thursday, Governor Evers' special session on gun control legislation. We've just been talking with Representative Hintz about this. One bill would expand universal background checks. The other would create a red flag law. Here is the governor last month with a directive for the legislature.
They need to do their job, bring these two pieces of legislation to a vote, and let the vote speak for itself. It's pretty simple.
Representative James, is it that simple just to allow a vote on these bills? What needs to be done?
Well, I think first and foremost, people need to understand the processes. First of the background checks, there are background checks that are done both at the state and national level when people go and purchase firearms. The ones causing all the harm to America today are the ones that aren't following the rules and lying on the background checks or just not doing them, borrowing the firearms from friends to cause the devastation that they want to do in the violent acts. So that's part of it. The background checks, you know, there are through the CIB, through the NCIC, the National Crime Information Center, Crime Information Bureau. I should really say that instead of saying the nomenclatures. But, you know, there are checks in place for those that are the law-abiding citizens. Those that are not the law-abiding citizens obviously are the ones that have these violent tendencies and want to cause harm to everyone. Secondly, you know, the red flag laws, I've been researching, looking at other states. First and foremost, I keep an open mind on these things. However, taking any type of action regarding the Second Amendment is concerning, and I think that we need to be very careful and cautious, as well as answer questions that exist at the local level. Regarding red flag laws.
Yeah, there's research out of University of Indianapolis that found that in Indiana, after the enactment of the red flag law there in 2005, the state saw a 7.5% decrease in firearm suicides in the 10 years that followed. If the assembly wants to address suicide prevention, should it look more closely on a red flag law here and gun safety measures?
Well, I think we can take a look at it. I just don't know how successful it's going to be with the Republican-led Senate and Assembly. You know, 7.5%, them are good statistics. However, there has been issues, or there has been somewhat of a decrease from what I understand. I'm looking at my notes here. The decrease in suicides, because back in the day, the crime levels and suicide numbers were actually higher. So we are making progress. It's just a matter of us being able to invest in each other and use our brains and our hearts to help protect one another. And if we see signs or something off with our family members, our friends, our coworkers, we need to really get back. And I've said this before, the Department of Homeland Security, when they started out with their slogan of see something, say something, we need to carry this into every aspect of any kind of firearm related violence or suicide, any type of mass shooting situations or something that we see. In September, I read an article that in California, there was a group that was able to stop mass shooting because they felt comfortable enough to call the person out, and then that ended up leading into law enforcement involvement and other federal agencies and search warrants, and they ended up stopping a mass incident. So that's the type of activity that we as Americans need to do in holding each other accountable.
Do you expect your body to gavel in and gavel out on this special session?
I don't know. Being a new representative, I'm still learning processes, and there's been mention of that, but I can't confirm or deny that.
Well, let's look at the task force. You were appointed to the Speaker Voss's Task Force on Suicide Prevention last March. What were you tasked to do?
Well, we're tasked to hold the hearings throughout our state. We had the six hearings all throughout, and we really focused on individual groups, those that were showing the highest statistics in rise of committing or dying by suicide. And so up in the Triple Valley area, obviously our focus was up here, law enforcement, our first responders, corrections officers, and military vets. We focus in the Marshfield area on farmers. And we really look at it as individual groups. And then to come up with ideas on how we can help educate and take preventative measures and just protect those that may be vulnerable in thinking or having suicidal thoughts.
We are in the State Capitol Report with Representative Jesse James, a Republican from Altoona. He's a member of the Speaker's Task Force on Suicide Prevention. You can join in should there be more suicide prevention programs in Wisconsin. Where is programming falling short? What needs to change? Are you a mental health professional? What do you think of having to take additional training on suicide prevention? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Representative James, last week the task force introduced a proposal to create a statewide suicide prevention program and provide grants for local suicide prevention programming. Where in Wisconsin are needs not being met right now?
Well, statistically, it's showing the northern half of the state. If you drew a line across around Highway 29, going from, the Hudson area straight across to Green Bay, the northern three DHS regions are where the most amount of death by suicide is happening. Obviously, there's reasons because the southern part of the state has more resources available, and in our rural areas, the people are lacking the resources and services available, and we definitely need to look at getting more mental health professionals, possibly using more of the technology that's available, the telehealth service measures, if we can't get the mental health professionals on site. And that's just is very concerning because we need to be able to take care of all of Wisconsin people and provide the services for them that are hurting.
Last month, you introduced a bill that would prevent suicide by firearms. It would give grants to organizations to train gun shop workers to notice the signs of suicide. This is a voluntary program. How would funding this bill address the gun issues?
Well, and this is the unique twist to this issue. A lot of people don't understand that there are resources available within their communities. Coming from the law enforcement world and being the lead of an agency myself, we did safekeep weapons for those that were thinking of causing harm to themselves or others. Family members, a very intricate part of this, would bring in the weapons for safekeeping, and we would temporarily safekeep the weapons until they felt it was time to get them back. If there's any kind of criminal element to it, obviously we would get our DA's office involved and ensure that it was okay to have weapons back. So that's a huge asset that already existed. And then bringing our gun shop owners into the mix is even more critical, because they offer the temporary storage of the firearms. There's no questions asked. We don't ask the questions, even on the law enforcement side or the gun shop owner sides. We just want to be able to put this tool in the toolkit and have it available. And obviously there's strong bipartisan support on this. I want to thank Representative Melissa Sargent for her support in being the co-author with this bill.
But you're putting gun shop owners at the forefront of these issues related to suicide. Even with proper training, they're not medical professionals or mental health professionals. How can they determine whether someone is truly suicidal?
Well, you don't. Just as law enforcement can't determine if people are suicidal, we have to have the mental health professionals. And really, it's first and foremost identifying an issue that exists. You know, if there's a warning indicator that pops up, and I mean, people know their family members, people know their friends, people know their coworkers, and if something seems off, we need to be able to be comfortable enough to initiate the conversation and ask them the hard question. When we go to the doctor, part of their initial screening process now is, do you have any thoughts of harming yourself? And we need to be able to ask that same question to our loved ones or friends or anybody that we care about to be able to do that. And there, I know a gun shop right here locally that refused to sell a firearm to somebody just because of a warning sign that they had observed, and they ended up calling law enforcement and filing a report.
Pausing right there with Representative Jesse James of Altoona on the State Capitol Report. You can join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. You have a line to Representative Jesse James of Altoona on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about the Speaker's Task Force on Suicide Prevention. We spoke with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss 2 weeks ago. He said he wants the bills that come out of these work groups to be voted on this month. And this task force on suicide addresses a troubling issue.
The idea that the only way out of your either financial situation, a bad relationship, is to take your own life, is to make sure we have the resources for people to talk to someone.
What do you think of draft legislation to create a statewide suicide prevention program? Join in 800-642-1234. And Representative Jesse James serves on the Speaker's Task Force, and he stays with us. Let's go to the phones now. Eric is joining us from Kenosha. Hi, Eric.
Yes, hi. I'd like to know where firearms stand as a cause of suicide in Wisconsin. Are they the number one cause, number two?
Representative James?
Firearms is and was identified as the number one cause of death by suicide.
Eric, do you have a further question?
No, thank you.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Eric. Let's go to Ben now in Appleton. Hi, Ben.
Hi. I think suicide prevention line would be extremely helpful. I've tried getting counseling before, and it can take upwards of weeks to see somebody. But my main question is will there ever be any future regulation on the medicine industry? Because a lot of medicine side effects cause irrational thinking, where people are contemplating more often due to their side effects of taking their own life.
Thank you, Ben. Representative James, what would you like to add here?
Well, I think that's a very interesting point and a very good point. I think as Americans, we are over-medicating our populations, and there seems to be side effects if there's multiple medications taken at times, and the psychoactive side effects of the medications being offered is very much a concern, and we need to definitely look at that. I think that there are a number of other options that are available besides medicating ourselves.
What would those other options be?
Well, it's really, it comes down to mindset, about the feeling the pain and being able to get steps in place on how to counteract the pains or thoughts that we are having, and then actually using the resources around us and being comfortable to do that. You know, this, we have to destigmatize suicide, and we have to have those that are having these thoughts have a portal out of their thoughts and to use everything and anything that they have around them besides just medicine.
Let's look for a moment at the suicide hotline. The Suicide Prevention Task Force wants $110,000 to be released immediately to fund a suicide prevention hotline. This money is already in the budget. The process has taken months. What do you believe delays in this type of programming does to the people of Wisconsin?
Well, I think it just shows again on government at work and how politics always plays a part in this releasing of the funds. I know that there was pressure from before in having the funds released. To be honest, I don't know why there is such an issue in releasing these funds. We're talking $110,000 to help save lives across Wisconsin. So I don't know what the root cause is of that. So that's all I can tell you.
Let's go to Anita now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Anita.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
My son died by suicide about 5 years ago. And I applaud any efforts to raise awareness and try to do work for prevention. But I really feel that prevention begins with our healthcare system. I totally agree with all the comments about needing to destigmatize suicide, which is why we use the term died by suicide rather than committed. It's not a crime. But I feel that healthcare needs to be more all-encompassing. Mental illness so often goes hand in hand with addiction. I think programs need to take care of both of those together, and all of those healthcare issues need to be covered. Mental health basically is physical health. It's a brain problem.
Anita, so sorry for your loss. Representative James, this sounds, as Anita said, a much bigger issue revolving around healthcare and mental health care.
Yes, and Anita, I'm so sorry for your loss, and my prayers and thoughts are with you and your family as each year progresses on. It is. You know, mental health is on the rise. It's on the increase, and it is very concerning. Wisconsin as a whole, especially on the law enforcement side, before it was we didn't have enough cops to do the job. That was last year's number one issue in our area. Now, this year, the number one issue seems to be addressing those with mental health. A lieutenant from Janesville said 40% of their caseload involves mental health-related incidents.
40%.
So, yeah, 40% of their call volume. And that's alarming. And it definitely, I just heard that last Thursday at the Attorney General's Emergency Detention Summit. And that is shocking. And it's something, as law enforcement officers, we are doing everything that we can possible, doing the crisis intervention training and the larger agencies that can support, you know, the individual officers that specifically focus on the mental health calls. That's amazing. And I applaud those efforts. But the smaller agencies, like from our neck of the woods, we don't have those resources. So we have to really invest in everybody being trained in crisis intervention. And we do need more mental health professionals. And again, what that looks like, you know, what an idea of possibly let's get some telehealth, because all school districts seem to have access to Wi-Fi broadband. Obviously, we don't all communities have it up in our neck of the woods either, but the school districts for the most part do. So is there something that we can do at the educational level, whether it's our elementary, middle schools or high schools, to have that technology available for any of the staff or the school districts that can't afford to have the psychologists or psychiatrists or social workers on vaccine and have it available through telehealth. That would be a huge asset for our youth and getting them comfortable. They're so used to talking to screens as it is with the way technology is today. So I think it would just be an added benefit for school districts to have that opportunity.
We're talking with State Representative Jesse James from the 68th Assembly District, which includes parts of Eau Claire County. You know, you've been a police chief for the city of Altoona. You're 11 months into your first term in office. How do you take those skills from police chief to being a lawmaker? Where are the overlaps there?
Oh, I think in every aspect. You look at, you know, the gun issues. You look at the Chapter 51, which is emergency detentions, where those that want to harm themselves and law enforcement have to detain them to force the services onto those individuals that are asking for or crying out for help. In the child foster care, child custody issues, and restraining orders, temporary restraining orders, and domestic abuse. I think all of it, the legislation, all of it touches every other part of it, and how the strain on our judicial system that exists. And you know, that's the other issue with the extreme risk protection orders. How much of a workload increase is this going to cause for our law enforcement and our judicial system that are already maxed out as it is already? So coming from the law enforcement world, it definitely brings a added benefit and a added perspective to the state legislature. Absolutely.
Representative James, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Jesse James is a Republican state representative from the 68th Assembly District, which includes parts of Eau Claire County. He's also a member of the Speaker's Suicide Prevention Task Force. If you or someone you know is dealing with suicidal thoughts, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255 or text HOPELINE to the National Crisis Text Line at 741-741. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.